kings of disaster. Let him in constancy follow the master.
I lie down before you and cradled in the love of Jesus, I'll find security.
And we have a title that we're going to talk about, and we're calling it, Are We Aware What We Have Received? Are we aware what we have received? I know I say this often, but God never makes a mistake. What God gives us with his word, he never makes a mistake. We may deviate from it, we may look to other things, but God has a way of bringing us back to what he gives us and how he feeds us and leads us and guides us. And that's why I'm calling this teaching today, Are We Aware What We Have Received? And I want us to look at 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 12. 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 12, and he says this, Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the spirit who is from God, that we might know the things that have been freely given to us by God. So the Apostle Paul clearly reveals how we receive. We receive by the Spirit. The Word of God is spiritual. It's not the law of the letter. It is spiritual. And that is why we worship God in spirit and in truth. Because it's spiritual, this is how it enters the heart through the new birth. When we receive Christ as Lord and Saviour. This is why we make so often that flesh and blood cannot reveal these things. You cannot understand this purely by the intellect. And this is why many theologians, people who learn the Word of God or Scripture, but they're doing it mentally. They're doing it in their own effort. They're doing it to learn and memorize. That is not how we receive. The Apostle Paul makes it clear to the church at Corinth, you've received not the spirit of the world, but the spirit is from God. And he makes quite a distinction there. Of course, he says this to this church, as we know, because of course, they were very much into Greek education and culture and philosophy and so on. They prided themselves of it. And he said, you're never, ever going to worship God in spirit and truth in that way. And this still is a dilemma for a lot of professing Christians. They think they are in control of their understanding of God and his word by their efforts, their work, their education, and so on. It isn't. It is God that teaches us. It is God that reveals his word to us. And this is why I say so often, we know absolutely nothing unless it is revealed to us. And we've said over the years, this is how Jesus walked. He did that which was revealed to him by his Father. He never questioned it. He never deviated from it. He was one with him and he did that which was revealed. And we know that because the ultimate test and cost was that he obeyed and he went to the cross as a lamb to the slaughter. And likewise, we have to receive by the Spirit those things that are given to us from God. that we might know that it has been freely given to us by him. And when we know that God has given to us by the Spirit, revelation in his word, salvation in him, all these promises and a future of eternity, you realize that you cannot put a price to this. And he says that you have been freely given this by God. And this is why God is against those that make merchandise of the gospel. And many today are making merchandise, earning big livings, a lot of them, out of the gospel, the word. That is not how the early church walked. That is not how our Lord walked. And we see such a falling away today with regard to this. But why do we see these things? Why are these heresies? Why is it that people have such a shallow consecration? Because they do not receive it by the Spirit. We can only worship God in spirit and in truth. It can only be acceptable when it is by faith, by the Spirit. And of course, you need to be empowered by the Spirit. The baptism of the Spirit is so vital. So are we aware what we have received? You see, the Apostle Paul is referring to those who are walking in faith in the Spirit, that they have full commitment. And this is what is so important. Commitment today in a lot of Christendom is shallow. They are like the world and they live like the world. And a lot of the problem is that they are not receiving by the Spirit. Therefore, they don't release faith in that which they hear. You cannot walk by faith and act upon the promises of God if you're hearing the word of God by mental assent. In other words, you are in control in your hearing, your understanding, and so on. That is why so many don't walk by faith today, because they're not receiving the word of God by the Spirit. And there is the difference. This is a lot of the problem that we have. And if we learn to receive by the Spirit, then it is faith in the heart, and faith will know how to act in accordance to the word of God and so on. That is why the Lord says in John, "My sheep hear my voice and they follow me." They hear it by the Spirit, not by the law of the letter. And there is the fundamental difference. And we see this principle happening over and over again, particularly if you're a preacher and a teacher. You are aware at times those who are receiving by the Spirit and those who are not. And at the end of the day, it is a gift. It is God's mercy over us. Now, what does it say in Ephesians chapter 5 and verses 18 to 21? Ephesians 5, 18 to 21. And here we're to walk in the light that we have. We're to walk in love. We're to walk in wisdom. So when we receive by the Spirit, that is teaching us how to walk each day in this world. And we pick it up in verse 18. He says, "Do not be drunk with wine, to which is dissipation, but be filled with the Spirit." speaking to one another in psalms, hymns, spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, submitting to one another in the fear of God. And so that is what receiving the Word of God by the Spirit, this is what it does to us. It not only, of course, it changes our lives, but receiving by the Spirit renews the mind. Receiving by the Spirit is deliverance to the mind. It starts to close those doors to the mind where you have been oppressed, or you've been deceived, or you're held in some habit or sin or whatever it would be. We have to receive by the Spirit in order to be delivered and healed. And that, of course, is why the baptism of the Holy Spirit is so vital. As we have shown so many times, the baptism of the Holy Spirit is not just that you speak in tongues and operate in the gifts. It's the doorway into the deeper life, a walk in the Spirit. It's an empowerment. And the church desperately today needs to be empowered by the Spirit. Because it's looking and walking and acting so much like the world. This is why the early church, the Christians, when we read in the book of Acts, they turned the world upside down. Because they were receiving by the Spirit, by the power of the Spirit. Not by might, not by power, but by my Spirit, says the Lord, says Nehemiah. We so much have lost this today. And this is what the deeper life in the Spirit is about and why we teach it, you see. Because when you receive by the Spirit, you can receive the demands of discipleship. As Jesus says, if you are my disciple, then you deny self, you take up your cross daily and you follow me. For most, that is a huge hindrance. For most, sadly, they don't understand that. Why? Because they receive it in the carnal, in the flesh. You can only receive these by the Spirit. And that is why we worship God in spirit and in truth. That is the only worship God will accept now under the new covenant. It is a spiritual offering. The same as Romans 12, 1 and 2 is where you present yourself a living sacrifice. You place yourself on the altar. You give yourself back to God. He has saved you. He has redeemed you. He has dealt with your sin, your rebellion. He's cast it away as far as the east is to the west. And if we love the Lord and we've heard what God is saying in his word, then what we do, we offer ourselves back to him on the altar. That can only be done if you understand and receive that by the Spirit. Can't be done otherwise. And this is what we do, and that is the deeper life. By presenting yourself on the altar, you are saying, Lord, I offer myself, here I am, do what you will with me. Not my will, but thy will be done. That is what we're saying. That is our offering of our heart. The person, you, offering back. Then God's fire falls and he receives that and he begins to burn up the dross, the unbelief, the rebellion, the stubbornness, the confusion, and all those things at times we battle with. In many ways, a lot in the past called it a baptism of fire. And that's not wrong theologically. We're talking about today, are we aware what we have received? You see, it is good for us to go over these things because we can see that God doesn't make a mistake. His message, his teaching doesn't change. There are so many professing believers are looking for a new revelation, looking for a new movement of God or a new minister or whatever it is. They're all the while searching for something new. Do you know why we see so much of that? Because they have failed to receive by the Spirit. And when you receive God's word by the Spirit, that'll keep you occupied 24/7. 365 days a year. You won't have time for anything else. What does it say? Going back to Corinthians, 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 1 to 8. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 1 to 8. And he says, "And I, brethren, could not speak to you as spiritual people, but as to carnal, as to babes in Christ. I fed you with milk and not with solid food, for until now you were not able to receive it, and even now you are still not able, for you are still carnal. For where there are envy, strife, and divisions among you, are you not carnal and behaving like mere men?" The apostle is dealing with the problem that they are not receiving by the Spirit. He's exposing a problem they have. And this is a major problem we have in so much of Christendom. And this is why we have these divisions. And so on. He says, "For when one says, 'I am of Paul,' and another, 'I am of Apollos,' are you not carnal?" In other words, they are not receiving by the Spirit. They're in the carnal. They prefer Paul, or they prefer Apollos, or any other teacher. And you've got myriads of people who profess Christ, are all following this one, that one, or whatever it is, changing around. And what is the problem? They do not receive by the Spirit. Faith comes by hearing the word. And that hearing is spiritual. And the seed of the word is spiritually sown into the heart. There's the difference. So then the apostle goes on, "Who then is Paul, or who is Apollos, but ministers through whom you believe, as the Lord gave to each one? I planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. So then neither he who plants is anything nor he who waters, but God who gives the increase." There it is. It's God who gives the increase. As God raises and calls teachers, he calls the fivefold ministry of the apostle, prophet, evangelist, pastor, teacher. God is the one who gives the increase. It is a spiritual work. "Not he who plants and he who waters are one, and each one will receive his own reward according to his own labor." And so it goes on. So here we see the Apostle Paul clearly gets to the root of the problem at Corinth. He says it's your hearing. You're not hearing right. And this is why I say so often, not only should we pray for the word, but we should also get in prayer that God will make our hearts and ears and minds sensitive in which to receive the word that you're going to hear. Why? Because it is spiritual. And therefore you need to be in prayer and prayer in the spirit in which to receive the spiritual. This isn't just about, oh, that was a good sermon. Oh, that was a blessing. Like the scriptures that we use and the subject was good and everything, that can have its place. But it's far more than that. The word that we receive has given me life. It has built me up in the faith. It has enabled me to be able to walk this week topped up with the word of God, to meet the trials and the tests and so on. This word, the deeper life that we receive, is that we can face another day and walk it by faith. Because I'm receiving by the Spirit. I've said it before and I'll say it again. We're like batteries. We need charging up. A battery soon runs down. And we're the same. We have to be charged up spiritually. And it comes by receiving this manna, the word by the Spirit. So that it enables me to meet the tests and the trials of the coming week. And they are there. Those trials are there. Making those right decisions and choices and so on. Being able to walk morally and ethically upright. Being able to walk separate from the world and not being influenced by the world. It's by receiving this by the Spirit. I know this can take a long time, and it does, because we know that Rome was not built in a day. But we have to know what we have received. We have to understand these conditions that we have labored over these years, conditions in discipleship. Once that you put your hands to the plow, there's no looking back. Because if you've truly put your hands to the plow and you have heard and received it by the Spirit, what is there to look back to? The world is dying. It's coming rapidly under judgment. Do we want to be left back in that? Not at all. Because our hearts are with the Lord, you see. But we know we go through these trials and these temptations, particularly at times when it can get hard. And it does get hard. There are times that it seems so few want to walk with us. It seems that people don't understand us. They don't want to be with us. And it can be lonely at times, this walk. Our Lord experienced that as well. But that is because we receive by the Spirit. We don't receive what the world gives us. The world is corrupt. It's defiled. We don't receive that way. The devil is not our father if we're truly born again. And there's a great fundamental difference. That's why light and darkness do not mix. And to be able to live in that light, we have to receive by the Spirit the word of God and walk in that. Romans 8, walking in the Spirit. So we know we're in the times of restoration, Acts 3. God is restoring now. He's restoring the remnant, his body. He's bringing a people out that they come back under the banner of Jesus Christ and not under a denomination or an organization, a man or a pope or whatever. No, he's restoring his remnant that he has. And he's bringing them back in fellowship, in unity and oneness, to walk by the Spirit. And we've seen that going on. It's happened to our own lives. And how does it happen? Because we receive by the Spirit, by faith. And then, of course, we've had lots and lots of teaching on faith, to walk by faith, to not trust in the arm of the flesh, to stand upon the word, to believe that God will not only heal our bodies, but also provide for all our needs and save our loved ones and provide all your needs as a family, food on the table, all the bills paid, and so on. It comes by receiving by the Spirit, because that is your faith. Your faith that you have, which is a gift from God, needs the Spirit. It won't happen if you receive it in the mere intellect or in your own strength. It doesn't happen. We can only stand on these promises and see them happen in our lives when we receive it by the Spirit, because that is what motivates our faith to act. I think God is really honing in on something today, brothers and sisters. Maybe you've never really thought of it like this, in this way. And maybe you need to get before God and say, Lord, am I really receiving by the Spirit? Or is my mind, my intellect still getting in the way? You see, that's a good, valid question to come before God. We're told in Acts, in 2 Corinthians 3, that we are to search ourselves, test ourselves, to see whether we're in the faith. So then we can begin to receive God's word by faith, because I am receiving it by the Spirit. We might not always fully understand straight away, but the Spirit does. This is why I always say, when we receive by the Spirit, you may not fully understand, but as I've said constantly, don't throw the baby out with the bathwater. Wait on the Lord, and he will establish, he will teach you spiritually. And so often, when you apply that principle, and I've applied it many, many times over the years, I have found God to be faithful, and he'll confirm and confirm until it's from the head to the heart. That's how we discern things. That is how we test things. That is how we test the ministry or somebody who calls themselves a prophet in 1 John 4:1. That is how we test it. By the Spirit, who gives witness, you see. And of course, this all takes time. I know we don't get this straight away. Are we aware what we have received, that God has brought us back under apostolic faith and fellowship? Are we aware of that? That is what we're receiving now in these last days, that's equipping us, maturing us, preparing us, getting us ready for the coming of the Lord. The deeper life in the Spirit is that the bride makes herself ready. That is the revelation for the last day for the church. She's making herself ready. She's soon to be married. Do you know that in your life? Are you aware of this being prepared, this being made ready, being worked on by the power of the Spirit? Do you know, one of the things I appreciate with God is when at times we start to deviate, or we start to wander off, or the world starts to become very attractive, and how the devil tries to lure us, or whatever it is. I thank God he doesn't give me any peace. You might find you get disgruntled with that, but it is God not letting you have any peace. They are the reins that he has upon your life and my life. Because he's hauling us back. We've got two influence. We've got two, our hearts are looking at other things. And this is why he allows us to be tempted and tried at times, in order so that we can learn the things that come by the Spirit and not by the flesh, the lusts of the flesh. And what deals with the lusts of the flesh is that cross you take up daily and follow. As I said, all you do, settle the cross and the Holy Spirit will do the rest. He'll crucify you. The same as Jesus had to settle the cross and the Romans crucified him. You won't have to work at it. The Spirit will do it. Why? Because it's spiritual. You see, brothers and sisters, we've been given a vision for the last days. And it is a vision of the bride that's making herself ready, the wise virgins, who are getting that extra vessel of oil, the oil of anointing, preparation. And the only way you can get that oil, that anointing, is to sit under the anointing, is to be restored back to apostolic faith, to come away from those man-made institutes, denominations, organizations. The church was never to be organized, never to become a denomination. It is an organism that we read so clearly in 1 Corinthians 12, 13, 14. It's an organism that functions like your body, that functions, that's perfectly knit together. Again, it is a work that's done by the Spirit. And so we have a vision, the call to overcome in these last days. And the vision is the Philadelphian church. That will be the church that will be ready when Christ first appears in the clouds to rapture the saints. It is a small church. It is weak in the natural. But God has set an open door that no man can shut. There we are. Jesus is that door, the way through. It's all there if we are prepared to go deeper in the Word of God. And you see, we're like those disciples. There were many, many disciples that walked with the Lord, but it was only the 12 that very often asked the Lord to explain what he meant. And we see how he took them to one side and he explained to them. But he had many, 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 many more followers. They weren't asking that, but they were. And that is what we do. We ask the Lord to show us. Please explain it, because I don't understand, because it's spiritual. That's why they were asking, because what the Lord was preaching and teaching was spiritual. And of course, he used everyday things in which for them to understand, whether the parable of the sower, they were all aware of the farmers and how they farmed. But he made a spiritual aspect of it. And this is how we grow. When we get into the Word and we ask the Lord, Lord, I don't fully understand this. Please show me, explain, open it up. And you know he will. And all of that is vital for our faith to grow and mature. It's wonderful when we receive it from the Lord. It's something so great, so personal, profound. You know that there's no lie in what he's revealing and showing. And so that's how we grow. We grow by the fruit of the Spirit, that love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. That's what we're seen by. Again, that can only develop by receiving by the Spirit. Because Jesus said, by the fruit you will know them. And this, of course, is achieved by the cross that we take up daily and follow. And as I bring this to a close, it is going to be those who bow the knee, those who are humble in his presence. They're the ones who will go on to be those wise virgins because they want to know. They're humble. They're in humility. And they realize they don't know anything. But they want to know. Because you can't teach the proud, the arrogant, those that think they know it all. That's why most of those disciples went back. They didn't follow the Lord. But the 12 still remained. And why did they remain? Because there was something there teachable about them. They were showing humility. And even though they denied the Lord, yet the Lord brought them back, restored them. And even though one of them betrayed him. See, God didn't give up because he saw the potential. He saw the heart. And that's what he sees, you see. And as I bring this to a close, I want to just read to you something that was written in 1970. And it says this: the message of the deeper life in the Spirit is, as we have shown, the message of the cross, the crucifixion of the self-life. It is Jesus' call to total commitment and to the crucified life. It means to walk in the Spirit along a fivefold pathway involving yielding one's life to the Holy Spirit without reservation, self-emptying, or the kenosis experience of Philippians 2, dying through the crucifixion of self, overcoming in all things and following Jesus in full commitment as his disciple. The baptism of the Holy Spirit is not, as many believe, an end in itself, but is only the doorway to a deeper spiritual experience with God. Now at the consummation of the age, God is calling a people to walk on a higher spiritual level of faith and consecration than they have ever experienced before. Those who accept the message of the crucified life and submit themselves fully to him are to be brought by the Spirit to the fullness of God himself, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. As they humbly yield themselves to the Spirit of truth, he will loose them more and more from their bondage of error and tradition and will implant in their hearts the deeper life principles of Jesus' teaching, especially as set forth in the Sermon on the Mount. God's ultimate purpose in bringing a body of saints into this deep place of consecration through trial and crucifixion is that they may be made perfect and prepared for the great end time ministry, when they shall be manifested to all creation as the mature sons of God in the worldwide restoration of all things, which is now at hand. There is a reminder, brothers and sisters, of what we have received. God doesn't make a mistake, he doesn't deviate, he doesn't change. And all that we've heard, all I have just read to you, we receive by faith, by the Spirit. Don't try and work it out. Just give your heart, present yourself, let the Spirit do it. Let him work his image in you, in your flesh. And that is why it's not by might, not by power, but by my Spirit, says the Lord. Heavenly Father, thank you for your word. Thank you that with man it is impossible, but with God all things are possible. And Lord, I thank you for reminding us, bringing us back. We can so forget these things, but we are truly grateful, and we know you chose us. We didn't choose you, especially for this walk, that we may be used in this last day, that we may be manifested to the world, that we will be with Jesus wherever he goes. Father, may we continue to look up and look away and look unto Jesus, who is the author, finisher of our faith. And Lord, I pray for all of us that our faith fails not. For this we ask now in Jesus' name. Jesus' name. Amen, amen.
Jesus, I'll find security.